You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. It's a Diddy celebration. That's right. Sean comes whining again about his birthday grilled cheese sandwich. He's worried about a grilled cheese sandwich as a grand jury looms. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
The day will come when we will name names other than Sean Combs. And there's a lot of names. It's a long list already. But because of the nature of this case, we're going to make damn sure that we're right before we do that. But the names that we're going to name are names that will shock you.
Sean Diddy Combs celebrated his 55th birthday behind bars at the MDC. In addition to a call from his children, Combs enjoyed a breakfast cake for his first meal of the day and had a choice of pizza, salad, or pasta for dinner. The disgraced mogul turned a year older amidst a desperate battle to instate a gag order as more damaging claims emerged from complainants and witnesses. The latest allegation? That a grand jury witness is in possession of at least 8 of Diddy's sex tapes with A-list celebrities, some of them minors.
There's some controversy. Was it pasta or was it a grilled cheese? In any event, Sean Combs needs to stop whining about his breakfast and lunch menu at MDC Correctional Institute and start thinking about what the grand jury is doing. The feds, let me tell you, I was a fed for 3 years, love to do what we call a superseding indictment. What is that? That is when they add to the current indictment or revise, translation, change the current indictment. I mean, think about it. He's already under a federal indictment. So why is the grand jury continuing to meet? But back to the urgent issue of the grilled cheese and the birthday celebration. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know now, straight out to Rob Shooter, a longtime colleague, host of Naughty But Nice podcast, which can mean so many different things, but former publicist to Sean Combs and author of The Four-Word Answer. Very important. He was Combs's publicist for many years. He was also Jennifer Lopez's publicist, and he has attended many white parties. Okay, first question to you, and I'm honor-bound to ask this, Rob Shooter. When you say right. that you attended the white parties, number one, were you subjected to the requirements to attend a white party? In other words, did you weigh over 140 pounds? Did you wear a short dress where your, quote, butt cheeks show? Were you wearing stilettos? Were you, quote, sexy with a low-cut top? Because those are some of the requirements that had to be met before you could put one toe in a Diddy white party. Translation, you had to wear all white. Also, did you have to stand on a set of scales, which were right there as people were entering to make sure you weren't over 140 pounds? And were you subjected to an age request? Were you asked how old are you? So if you could just clear the air right now and answer those questions, Shooter.
Let me be clear. So I worked with Diddy in the early 2000s, over 20 years ago, and he wasn't yet the Diddy that we know today. So he was still sort of figuring out who he was as a celebrity, as a businessman. And so the parties that I drew for Diddy, I was a publicist, I organized the press outside, the red carpet, something we call a step and repeat, celebrities walk down and take pictures. Those parties were about 2,000 people. Now, there were codes of conduct. You had to wear just white. If you turned up in another color.
Wait, excuse me. Code of conduct? Are you serious? Code of conduct? You're acting like he's trying to get into the Naval Academy. A code of conduct? This is a dress code for women only. They had to show their breasts and their backside.
I never saw that list. What I saw was a list to get into the regular parties, the ones that started at about 10 o'clock, not the ones that started at 2 or 3 a.m. That's a very different party.
Okay, that's convenient, isn't it, that you knew nothing about the attendance requests. But that said, I'm afraid I'm pulling a Diddy right now. He's all worried about having to eat a grilled cheese sandwich on his birthday instead of the grand jury. Let's get down to what's happening right now. Other than whining about his treatment behind at MDC, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks is joining me, former associate warden at MDC, Metropolitan Detention Center, former senior warden with the U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, founder, president of A New Daylight Foundation, and author of Who Are You? See It, Say It, and Seize It. Okay, Dr. Hendricks, was Diddy supposed to have a special birthday celebration behind bars?
No, no, not at all. As previously discussed, there's a national menu. What he ate on his birthday on Monday was on the menu. And again, I don't continue to understand why he's still complaining about meals when he's been there for well over going on 2 months now. So,
Dr. Hendricks, mm-hmm. Nobody offered me cereal, fruit, or breakfast cake, whatever that is. Nobody offered me pasta with marinara sauce, meatballs, and a salad, really? Dinner, chicken, or tofu with fried rice, mm-hmm. black beans, and carrots. I have to go in the kitchen and cook dinner every night. And he's whining. He had chicken fried rice with black beans and carrots. Is this all about his grilled cheese? Or is it just the fact that he doesn't have his private chef anymore? So let me see Dr. Dwayne Hendricks again. Are you telling me the birthday boy did not get special treatment on his birthday?
The birthday boy did not get special treatment. He's being treated just like every other incarcerated person in the building. And I think the sooner that he understands that he's just going to be just like everyone else, the better off that he'll be in terms of him being at the institution while he's awaiting trial. So, again, he has bigger fish to fry
right now.
Well,
if the feds have their way, there's going to be a superseding indictment, and he's going to have to sit put for quite a while. Rob Shooter with me, former publicist to Sean Combs for many years, also served as Jennifer Lopez's publicist for a period of time. Rob Shooter, what meals did Diddy normally have with his private chef? What was on the menu at those white parties that you supervised?
He lived like a king, Nancy. I'd never seen anybody live like this. I worked with a lot of celebrities, and Diddy was the one that enjoyed being a celebrity the most. He liked the perks of it. We're talking lobster. We're talking Nobu. We're talking the best sushi in the world. He would click his fingers and have people deliver cheesecake to him in the early hours of the morning. What he has given up as far as his lifestyle, or what's been taken away from him as far as his lifestyle is concerned, is extraordinary. Nobody lived better than Diddy.
Did I hear you say something about snapping his fingers in the wee mornings hours and getting cheesecake delivered?
He did. If you worked for Diddy, you worked for a tyrant. He was an absolute boss. He would text me at 4, 5, 6 a.m. in the morning and expect a response. It was a really stressful time. He taught me how to be a publicist. And the one thing about Diddy that I want to point out that people don't talk about enough is he was charming, Nancy. He was absolutely charming, which is why he probably got away with what he did for so long.
Well, I don't understand what's charming about getting a text at 4 a.m. To do what? What would he want you to do at 4 a.m.? Oh, guys, those are photos that have just emerged that indicate that certain alleged victims were with Diddy at the times they say they were. Their faces have been blacked out. Okay, what, Shooter? What would anybody want at 4 a.m. in the morning?
He wanted to figure out what his next day publicity would be. It was all about being the most famous person in the world with pretty limited talent. He's not the best singer or dancer or actor, but yet somehow he made himself into the center of a circus. It's almost like he was Barnum. He was the ringmaster of this circus that he ran. He was the boss.
I still don't understand exactly why he would text you at 4 o'clock in the morning and how you can continue to say that he was charming.
There was a sense to Diddy when you were with Diddy, and I think this is quite common with a lot of really bad people out there. There was a sense to Diddy that he made you feel special. He looked you in the eye. He showered you with gifts. And now looking back, I can see how manipulative it all was. But in the moment, he made everybody around him feel very special.
Rob Shooter, joining me from Naughty But Nice podcast. Did you just say Diddy was not that talented?
He was not a natural singer. He was not a natural actor. He was not a natural musician. I don't think he plays an instrument. Yet he managed to make himself into the center of the music business. That comes with a certain amount of talent, with chutzpah, with ambition. But as far as traditional talents of a musical artist, he did not possess them.
Well, guess what? You're in good company. I guess you've heard of the renowned music producer Quincy Jones. Listen.
Legendary music producer Quincy Jones passed away Sunday at the age of 91, and with his death, many are remembering his brutal opinion of Sean Diddy Combs. Jones said to artist Bruno Mars at a 2012 Spotify event that P. Diddy wouldn't know a B-flat if it hit him. Jones describes Combs as a master marketer, but a lackluster producer, moments after encouraging artists to really learn their craft. Jones later took to social media to say he didn't mean to diss the rapper and had nothing but love and respect for Combs and his achievements.
Right, nothing but love, but wouldn't know a B-flat if it bit him in the neck. Joining me, Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst joining us from L.A., author of Deal Breaker. You can find her at drbethanymarshall.com and see her on Peacock. Dr. Bethany, here is the crux of what I'm getting at. While a grand jury is continuing to meet, you know what that means, Dr. Bethany? That means 20 to life on multiple charges.
Wow.
Each.
Wow.
That's what's happening right now.
Okay.
The feds are going to pull, I'm going to go to Joshua Ritter on this in just a moment. The feds are going to pull, as they should, if they've got the evidence to support it, what we call a superseding indictment, which means you add to or change the existing indictment. So that's what I would be worried about right now behind bars, not my grilled cheese sandwich I had on my birthday, not whether Quincy Jones said I wouldn't know a B-flat if it bit me in the neck, but I guarantee you, Bethany, that is what is consuming him right now.
It does matter to him, because P. Diddy only cares about his own bodily pleasures, whether it's food, sex, the clothing that he wears. He is a glutton. Okay, so of course he's going to be staring straight at that pasta marinara and wondering if the temperature is hot enough. He lives his life for food and sex. He snaps his fingers at 4 a.m. to get a birthday cake delivered to him. He's, I guess Freud would use the term, his Royal Highness the baby. He gets everything he wants. And you know, all that music, Nancy, I think of music as a way to share a message, share an emotional transformation you're going through so that you can help other people. Music for him was just a sell-through. Meaning,
Bethany, you're telling me that Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Love, and many more, created music to express his own deeply felt emotions?
I'm
Did
saying
you just
the opposite.
Say that?
No, I'm saying the opposite.
Okay, go ahead,
I'm
please.
Saying most artists, they express themselves through music because they want to move and inspire others. He used music to lure people in so he can rape them. It's a perversion of that whole art form. It's like if you painted a beautiful photo or painted a beautiful painting just to invite guests to a gallery opening so you could serve them champagne laced with drugs so you could rape them all at the end of the night. I think that's what Quincy Jones was referring to, not even knowing a B flat if it hit him in the face.
Okay, Dr. Bethany, can I get us out of the weeds and back in the middle of the road?
Okay.
What does it mean when someone, such as in this case, is Sean Combs, is more worried about his birthday grilled cheese? He's sitting in the MDC. Nobody wants to be there. And he's angry. He didn't get his usual birthday, I don't know, fantasia. And he's upset that Quincy Jones said he wouldn't know a B-flat if it bit him in the neck. What does this mean? And could you please be concise? Because I'm trying to get into his head. I'm trying to understand where he's going to go at trial.
People who are disturbed operate at an infantile level. They are concerned about the things babies are concerned with. Babies are concerned with pooping and eating and being taken care of and coddled. And that's all he cares about. That's his psychopathology. He's primitive and infantile.
Sean Diddy Combs has now been sued with claims of molestation and sexual assault a whopping 27 times, with more on the horizon. Houston lawyer Tony Busby has filed 7 new lawsuits on top of the 6 already filed last week. 2 of the latest anonymous plaintiffs are minors, and several unnamed celebrities are mentioned in the accusations. The cases have all been assigned to different judges, with at least 2 asking the filers to justify their anonymity.
Birthday, I'm happy. Thanks to y'all giving me this call. Thank you very much. I love y'all.
Love you all too. Can't wait to see you in a couple of days.
I
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy.
Yeah.
I love you too, baby.
Pops.
Hi, we're right here.
Chance's right here on the phone, too.
Pops, love eating all your cake, so you're not going to have none left.
She's literally digging her face in it.
We're going to have to buy you a new one.
Yo, she's face down in the cake right now.
That is from Prince JDC on Instagram. You know, to Dr. Bethany Marshall, that video, to me, is heartbreaking. Not for Combs, because he did this to himself at the expense of many, many alleged victims that were raped. But it's sad to me because of his children. Just the other day I did the birthday videos of the twins for their birthday. Okay, long and extensive birthday videos, which I've already started looking back at happily. And their father is behind bars. And it hurts me for them to be going through this. And of course, there's no way he's ever going to admit to any of this. I mean, think about Scott Peterson. To this day, he is dug in. He's never going to admit, no matter what. And he's dragging everybody along with him, including his family. Same thing with Combs.
Nancy, whatever Combs' attachment style is with his victims, wanting to have power over them, to exploit them, his attachment style will be the same with his children. It'll just take a different form. Maybe interpersonally offending with them by getting them to listen to his stories, by manipulating them into thinking things that are not true. So these poor children, not only are they living a life without their father, but they're going to spend their entire adult lives dismantling the mythology that their dad is great and loving and kind.
Well,
and
I don't know that they ever will, Bethany. I don't know that they ever will, because who wants to hear something bad about their parent? Nobody. Most people reject it, and they attack the person that tells them. I don't think they're going to dismantle anything.
Well, maybe some will and some won't. We'll see what their resiliency is. I think what you're suggesting, Nancy, is they'll stay in a state of idealization and denial about their father, which many adult children do. But look, there's sometimes we have adult children who turn their parents in for crimes. They can see the parent for who the parent is. So this is something that we will learn going forward.
To CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter Sydney Sumner, what were the ages of the youngest alleged victims? Because many of them are younger than Didi's own children. Let's just think about that for a moment.
Yeah, Nancy, the latest filing from a minor at the time who claimed they were attacked as a minor was a 10-year-old boy auditioning for Combs. They also have a 13-year-old, and Tony Busby has said that a 9-year-old victim plans to file. So lots of young children here, 17, 16, 19 years old, and Combs' youngest child, Love, is just about 2 years old now. And his twins are 17 themselves.
To Chris McDonough joining me, director of the Cold Case Foundation, and for my purposes, former homicide detective and vice detective. He is host of a blockbuster YouTube channel, The Interview Room. Chris, speaking of the alleged younger victims, juveniles, alleged victims. This has not been proven in court yet. There are many of them, and they all have a startlingly similar story that they wanted to audition to get into the music industry through Combs. And the audition would often include him forcing or asking for oral sex from a minor. My question to you is, we see the same MO, modus operandi, method of operation, alleged over and over and over. I mean, can you teach an old dog a new trick? Apparently not.
No, you're 100% right, Nancy. And that P in his name may have a whole different meaning now. The fact that he is living this secret life, behind the scenes and projecting this public persona, i.e. on that phone call, it just goes back to Dr. Bethany's thought process in relationship to, total power and control. And the fact that he's choosing children, okay, that just puts him at a whole different level, because now as he projects, so I beat somebody up in the past, I'm sorry for that. He's going to have no feeling in relationship to these children at all. He's past feeling there.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
So to Rob Shooter, host of Naughty But Nice podcast, former publicist to Sean Combs and Jennifer Lopez. Rob, I'm hearing what Chris McDonough is saying, and we're talking about the MO, method of operation, where you basically think you can get away with anything, you can demand anything, and you can get it. What was it like? Was that true when you worked for him?
When I started working with Diddy about 20 years ago, he was still flexing his muscles. He was early on in his career. He wanted to become a big mogul, so he was still trying to figure it all out. Was he arrogant? Was he rude? Was he aggressive? Yes. But he had yet to figure out just how powerful he was or he was going to be. But I think about the children, if I can just jump in for a second here, what alarms me about that video with the kids is that should have been a private celebration conversation with his family. The fact that they videoed that and put it on social media tells me that Puffy's going to use these kids in his defense. He's now fighting two battles, a legal battle and the battle of public opinion, which really matters to him. And in the second battle, he will use his kids or whoever to try and present himself as a caring father. Not true.
The world of Diddy Freakoffs has physical requirements for all women taking part, and the list is now public. You cannot be over 140 pounds. Other no-nos on the list, no flab, no cellulite, nobody who's overly pierced or too tatted up, no short hair, no pants, no jeans. You have to be young and hot and showing cleavage. You must wear provocative, revealing clothing with stilettos, nothing else. Every girl has to wear a party dress, a short party dress, short enough to just cover the butt cheeks. The Metropolitan Detention Center has been under increased scrutiny since two inmates were fatally stabbed over the summer. A recent interagency operation at the MDC turned up numerous homemade weapons, electronic devices, and drugs hidden throughout the prison. Investigators say the large-scale sweep for contraband had nothing to do with Sean Combs' incarceration, but was pre-planned and coordinated to ensure the safety and security of staff and inmates.
Right! It has nothing to do with Sean Combs being an inmate there after his disastrous grilled cheese sandwich. I'm sure he's complaining now. Now, let me understand, to you, Sydney Sumner, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, tell me about the MDC increased scrutiny, because I understand more than one agency is investigating MDC. Why?
Nancy, we believe this is due to the stabbings and incredible violence that happened at the MDC. We know that federal agents and the Bureau of Prisons started this investigation and wanted to take all of the contraband in the prison out. They needed to eradicate this to really help inmates and staff stay safe, because the amount of violence at the MDC is ridiculous, abhorrent.
Okay, well, so far no claims by Combs that he has been attacked or mistreated in any way other than the grilled cheese. So large-scale sweep for contraband, including electronic devices, homemade weapons, i.e. a shank, drugs, and more. Now, who else has lived at MDC? A lot of celebrities, so Diddy is not alone. Let's see, there's 69. Ooh, he doesn't look happy. Allison Mack, R. Kelly, whose case is very similar to Combs's, Keith Raniere, Michael Cohen, Ghislaine Maxwell, and Sam Bankman-Fried. There are so many high-profile celebrities, but to you, Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, former associate warden at MDC, I didn't hear any of them whining about their grilled cheese. Now, wait a minute. Ghislaine Maxwell did whine about being cold or something to that effect. That said, I didn't hear them whining they didn't get special treatment on their birthday.
No, in terms of the sweep that went through, the interagency action that went through the institution last week, it's not uncommon that these interagency actions are occurring. Several months ago, in Florida, a large prison, federal prison complex, also had a multi-agency sweep, which led to charges to inmates and staff due to a homicide and staff bringing in contraband. Now, I will say, I don't believe the sweep last week had anything to do with Diddy. However, with the increased scrutiny on the institution and these.
Dr. Hendricks, are you telling me you believe in coincidences that Diddy whines about his treatment and about MDC and then suddenly there's a sweep?
No, I think there was obviously several weapons, cell phones and different things of that nature. And I think the agency has learned from other media issues in terms of, you know, trying to keep things in-house, so to speak. And I think by bringing our law enforcement partners, it brings transparency mm-hmm. and it also helps create a safer environment. But I will also admit having Sean Combs there and all eyes on the institution, especially with some of the issues that they've had there over the last several years, that made that next multi-agency sweep probably happen a lot faster than it would have maybe if he uh-huh. was
so
not
now you're saying it is connected. Okay, you cannot have your cake on a silver platter and eat it too. So I'm going to give you a moment to think about what you just said and then come up with your decision. Does Sean Combs being there have anything to do with a sweep across the entire MDC revealing what? A lot of weapons, cell phone devices, and much more. Drugs, shanks, you name it. Josh Ritter, when you end up behind bars, guys, Joshua Ritter is a renowned criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, and host of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. You can find him at joshuaritter.com. I'm always amazed that people lead a life of crime, and when they end up behind bars, they're like, what? This is awful. Okay, yeah, it's jail. But do they not understand that a life of crime leads to incarceration?
Well, I think one thing that criminals don't do is think about consequences. Most of their life is lived on this idea that they're going to get away with it. So, yeah, there's a lot of rude awakenings when they end up behind bars. It's an incredibly uncomfortable, is even not even the right word for it. It's an incredibly horrible place to be in. I mean, you're first of all, you're lacking all kind of comfort. But secondly, as we're finding out, it's also incredibly stressful.
A horrible place to be in. How do you think those women feel when they wake up the next morning, still greased up with baby oil infused with GHB, gamma hydroxybutyrate, with their rear ends and their vaginas hurting? What about that? And you're telling me jail is a horrible place to be? And?
Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why he's there.
You ever wake up one morning covered in baby oil with your rear end hurting, Ritter?
I have not. No, I cannot say that I've experienced that. But
well, lucky you. I guess you didn't go to a white party. You know, Rob Sheeter, I agree with what Ritter just said, that criminals do not think about consequences of what they are doing. Rob Sheeter, could you just give me a peek into the lifestyle that Sean Combs enjoyed before he ended up in MDC?
Puffy lived like a king, like an absolute king. Not only could he afford the best of the best, from private planes to the best restaurants to the best clothes, maybe the most important part of this that we don't talk about enough is it's the way people would treat him. Puffy could get on the phone with pretty much anybody. Anna Wintour, who runs Vogue magazine, Estee Lauder, if he wanted a fragrance. Whenever Diddy placed the call, it was returned. He loved being a celebrity. He went out all the time. He partied, he played. Diddy literally was the king of New York for quite a period of time. It wasn't that short.
The MDC Brooklyn amenities. Okay. Indoor-outdoor facilities for games and sports. Cable TV. Movie nights on weekends, TrueLink tablets for communication, I guess it's like an iPad, and a library. Wait a minute. Indoor-outdoor facilities. Does that mean basketball and tennis? Cable TV. I hope he's watching right now. Movie nights on weekends. Nobody's giving me a movie night. Does that come with popcorn and soda? TrueLink tablets. I guess that's an iPad. And a library. Now, to you, Rob Sheeter, what would a day in the life of Diddy be like before MDC?
It would be extraordinary. He lived like a king. He lived like a superstar. He would wake up. He'd have people there to make his breakfast. He'd have people there to dress him. He'd have clothes brought in that he could select. He would then get in a chauffeur limo. He'd driven to his office where he would spend a couple of hours. And then he would go to the gym. And then he'd meet friends for dinner. It was an extraordinary life and people to jump. he could phone people and they would take those calls and jump.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Judge Arun Subramaniam rejects a gag order proposal from the defense team for Sean Diddy Combs. Diddy claims government officials are leaking information about him to the media in an effort to make him look dangerous to prevent him from getting out on bond before trial. After rejecting the proposal from Diddy, the judge adopts a gag order similar to that requested by Combs. The judge's order insists federal agents, investigators, and Diddy's team must follow the laws forbidding them from leaking grand jury proceedings that can create problems for a fair trial.
To Joshua Ritter, high-profile lawyer, isn't it true that Combs is facing new grand jury testimony while prosecutors have rejected a demand that they be forced to reveal the accuser's identities, and that Combs is insisting that everyone, potential witnesses, be under a gag order? Is that what they are arguing right now?
Yes. And the government's saying absolutely no dice. There's no way they're going to be handing over this information about the alleged victims and possible witnesses, because right. they're trying to protect these people. They know the kind of power this man has.
Well, another thing is that this is another thing, Joshua, is that such a gag order would be placed on potential witnesses, including civil complainants that are suing for money. Well, I do see one problem. A grand jury witness came out and had a press conference. Listen.
Courtney Burgess, reportedly a friend of the late Kim Porter, tells reporters outside the courthouse that he just testified in front of the Diddy grand jury as a witness. Burgess claims that Porter gave him 11 flash drives for safekeeping shortly before her death. Burgess says the drives store at least 8 sex tapes picturing Combs with different A-list celebrities who Burgess describes as victims, 2 or 3 of whom appear to be minors. Burgess claims he no longer has possession of the tapes.
Why did a grand jury witness come out and hold a presser, claiming that he has videos of celebrities at the party? Why would he do that? What is his motivation for implicating celebrities? Well, after that presser, this happened.
2 days after Courtney Burgess publicly discusses his testimony, Sean Combs' legal team submits a letter to Judge Subramaniam demanding with renewed urgency that he establish a gag order. The defense attorneys specifically cite Courtney Burgess' eagerness to speak with the media and a New York Post article using a federal agent as a source as improper pretrial publicity. That is, making it impossible for Combs to have a fair trial.
If that's true, that a federal agent or a federal employee, it could be the person making Xerox copies, for all I know, that works in the courthouse. The state's got to ferret out who is making leaks, if anyone. But the feds are fighting back. Listen.
Federal prosecutors are fighting Combs' requests to identify his accusers, calling the defense's petition an attempt to hijack the criminal case to fight civil claims against him. Prosecutors cite serious and ongoing concerns for victims and witnesses' safety as reason enough to deny Combs' demand. But the feds also claim that asking the judge to force an early disclosure of evidence is a thinly veiled attempt to restrict the government's proof at an early stage of the case.
In the middle of all of this, a celeb weighs in, slamming, of all people, Jennifer Lopez. Okay, to you, Rob Shooter. Look, I don't have an opinion one way or the other on Elon Musk. He must be brilliant to be launching rockets. Well, some of them work. But that said, the guy's got to be a brainiac. But why is he wading into the Sean Combs controversy? Listen.
Elon Musk is slamming Jennifer Lopez for her failure to warn anyone about Diddy's disgusting behavior. Musk comments that someone had to know that Combs was abusing women and children, but the music industry continued to feed him victims. Lopez has always remained very tight-lipped about their relationship, but did reveal Combs often referred to their relationship as a marriage and frequently threatened her with divorce.
Rob Shooter, you repped J-Lo and Sean Combs. What was the nature of their relationship? All I know is after that nightclub shooting, she broke up with him.
That's right. That's right. Jennifer would credit Sean with creating a lot of her career. She changed her name to J-Lo because of his recommendation. He's the one that encouraged her to get into the music business, to release albums. He set her up with several different producers. So early on in her career, he was quite helpful for her. However, after that shooting incident in the nightclub where she was present at the time, that was the end of their relationship romantically. They did stay friends. They still did talk to one another. It is,
oh, please, please, stop, Rob Shooter. They stayed friends. Uh-uh. She, all you could see of J-Lo was elbows and tail hole. She ran the other way. Of course she's saying, oh, we're still friends. Who wants to stir up a fight with Sean Combs, for Pete's sake? Why are you saying they stayed friends? That's like when you break up with a bad boyfriend. Oh, yeah, we're still friends. No, you're not. Why are you saying that?
Good question. She did maintain publicly that her and Puffy were still friends. Now, I represented both of them, and I can tell you when I worked for them, they were not together romantically, and both accounts were very separate. She never, ever asked me about him. He always asked me about her.
Interesting. So he was thinking about her a lot more than she was thinking about him. Dr. Bethany Marshall, again, I would not know Musk if he bit me in the neck, but you've got to agree he's a brainiac. Okay, why he would inject himself in the middle of all this, much less attack J-Lo. So what if she did disagree with his behavior? Why do you think she turned tail?
I'm wondering with Elon Musk, if you have one power-hungry man taking advantage of another person's waning power, now Elon Musk is going to be at the head of the heap. All right. And I'm sure J-Lo had to say that she was friends with P. Diddy because he was probably stalking her like he stalked all of his victims. And when a woman is being stalked, the last thing she's going to do is say anything negative about the stalker. She's going to smooth it over as much as she can.
I'm just saying, I don't like seeing Jennifer Lopez attacked because of not taking a public stand against her benefactor and mentor that helped her in her career. That said, final word to you, Bethany.
Well, she probably had a lot to lose by taking a stand because he probably had power over her like he had power over every other victim in his life.
A former Playboy model claims Diddy invited her and two friends to a Tokyo party that she now believes was a freak-off. Rachel Kennedy says she met Combs at a Tokyo club where she worked, and he returned the next night to invite her to a party. When Kennedy and two friends arrived to Combs' hotel room, Combs was alone in a bathrobe with a bottle of champagne. Kennedy says Combs had a J-Lo music video playing in a loop on the TV while he talked on the phone with his then-girlfriend.
Chris McDonough joining me, former homicide and vice cop. Again, the arrogance of inviting somebody over and then you pop out in nothing but a bathrobe and a bottle of champagne?
Yeah, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, but let's remember, he is a very dangerous individual in terms of as a hunter. His whole persona is to lure that victim in. And this is an obvious situation here where he gets these two women to come to his apartment or his hotel room, whatever it was. There he's already prepared. And that's what a hunter does. He's already staked out, you know, the where he's going to do the hunting. He's already got it figured out, you know, if he's going to, you know, how he's going to execute, you know, the event that evening. He is a very dangerous individual.
The grand jury is meeting now. Are they hearing these other alleged victims? And remember, Sean Combs is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. All of this is just allegations. That said, the longtime manager of superstar John Legend has now been added to the alleged victim list. Listen.
John Legend's longtime manager, Ty Stiklorius, wrote about her terrifying experience at a Diddy party in an op-ed for the New York Times. Stiklorius says she was a recent college graduate when she snuck into a St. Bart's yacht party with her brother. Stiklorius believed she was following a man to a disco room, but wound up locked in a bedroom with him alone. Stiklorius managed to convince the man her brother would be looking for, but to this day, she wonders how much worse that situation could have been.
As the grand jury continues to meet and what I believe gathering testimony for a superseding felony indictment against Sean Combs, he is concerned about his grilled cheese birthday sandwich. Let's stop and remember an American hero, police officer Cody James Brotherson, West Valley City PD, Utah, struck and killed in the line of duty, just 25, survived by grieving fiance Jessica and their fur baby, Bolo. American hero, police officer Cody James Brotherson. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.